Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome in. Spencer on Sports kicking off local programming here on KGYM. 2:05 on another gorgeous afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Can I be just frank for a moment? Anyone else out there just like desperate for the 3-day weekend coming up? Memorial Day weekend. It's only Tuesday, but I'm like, can I just get to Friday? Friday at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. Anyone else kind of in that mode right now? 319-366-1600 is the Talker text line if you want to weigh in on anything going on in the sports world here for today. Lots to get to in the hour we have together, per usual. I don't know. One of those two phrases. We'll get into a little NFL talk. Aaron Rodgers injured? No, not severely. ESPN's Diana Rossini will join us coming up later on in the show. Aaron Rodgers off to the side in OTAs today after tweaking his calf. Diana Rossini will have the latest. Sounds like Alan Lazard, too, had a minor issue in practice today. We'll get you updates on that later on in the show. So big news from yesterday, the NFL draft going to Green Bay, Wisconsin in 2025. We'll talk about that. And the big other story for the NFL was flex scheduling for Thursday night football. Good idea, bad idea? We'll get your thoughts later on in the program. NBA from last night, the Denver Nuggets do it. They are on to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. We'll talk about that, get reaction to that. Plus, is LeBron seriously considering retirement? I think the answer is no, and I'll tell you why coming up before 3 o'clock as well. We're going to start today with the world of baseball, though. A big win for the Hawkeye baseball team in Omaha. If you had your midday snack and some coffee or early lunch, I don't know, you got to watch a pretty good game, especially from the middle innings onward for Coach Rick Heller and his bunch. We'll update you on that here momentarily. Also take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard from last night. Again, 319-366-1600. We do have a poll question at kgymradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Has to do with the NBA. Could have two sweeps for the first time ever in the conference finals in the National Basketball Association. Denver sweeping the Lakers last night. The Heat can sweep the Celtics tonight with a victory. So we're asking you, do the Celtics win tonight? Yes or no? Are the Celtics going to avoid elimination, force a game five coming up later on this week, or is Miami going to continue to roll as they have been doing? We'll talk about that and take a look at the game for tonight, which you can hear right here on KGYM starting at 7 o'clock. Later on in the program. Again, 319-366-1600. Producer Isaac along for the ride as well today. How's it going today, Isaac?
Doing good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Awesome basketball game. Well, maybe not so awesome. It was a close game. At least it's pretty entertaining for me. And LeBron went crazy in the first half. Maybe not so much in the second half.
Right.
Wasn't great. And Iowa baseball won, so can't be too upset about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots to get into. We'll talk NBA, like I mentioned, coming up in just a bit. But let's start on the local side of things. Iowa baseball today. We talked yesterday kind of about the path ahead of them and where they stand after a 2-1 weekend against Northwestern over in Evanston. Iowa coming into the Big Ten tournament in Omaha as the number 3 seed. Just missed out on getting that number 2 seed, but looking largely okay, in good shape for an NCAA tournament bid. Of course, still an opportunity to win the whole thing. Then you're guaranteed one, right? But at least for an at-large bid, things looking pretty good for Rick Heller's squad. Certainly, want to continue the positive momentum from this weekend, taking 2 of 3 against Northwestern. And they certainly did that here today with a 13-3 victory, run rule victory to start things off. In the Big Ten tournament against the number 6 seed Michigan Wolverines. Tight game early on, 1-1, both teams both teams to be grammatically correct here, plating a run in the second inning. So it was tied up at one going all the way to the fifth, and really was the fifth inning that told the tale of the tape for this game. Starting in the top half of the frame, Michigan loaded the bases, had the bases loaded with nobody out in the game, and really two heroes, I guess you could point to in this game for Iowa baseball. Number one, absolutely have to give the nod to Jack Whitlock. With the bases loaded and nobody out, Whitlock able to strike out three straight batters to end the inning and keep the game tied up at one. It's huge, obviously. Bad situation to be in, right? I mean, you know, bases loaded, nobody out. Oh boy, is Michigan going to break this game open, take the lead? Michigan had their ace, Connor O'Halloran, on the mound, had been pitching very well. What's going to happen here? Is Michigan going to break this game open? O'Halloran going to sit down the Hawkeyes like he had been, continue to do that? And Michigan maybe pull an upset as the sixth seed? Or is Iowa going to respond? And the Hawkeyes certainly got that from Whitlock, who came in relief of starter Marcus Morgan in the game. Like I said, Whitlock in that top of the fifth, keeping it one apiece by striking out three straight batters to end it. And then really the bottom half of the fifth is what pretty much decided this game. Hawkeyes starting it off with a walk from Ben Wilmus, Sam Peterson and Brennan DeRigge then striking out. Raider Tella with a single, and then Iowa breaking the tie, a two-run single from Sam Honar. A couple batters later, a couple more runners on base. Braden Frazier, I thought I heard a little bit louder roar coming from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids Jefferson alum Braden Frazier, a grand slam to put Iowa up 7-1 in that game, or at that point of the game in the fifth inning. In total, a six-run fifth inning for the Hawkeyes. Iowa would add four in the seventh and two more in the eighth. Again, as a run rule victory, beating Michigan 13-3. Sam Peterson with a home run, a three-run homer in that seventh, as Iowa able to really bust it open courtesy of that fifth inning against the Michigan Wolverines. So what does it mean? Well, it means, number one, Iowa's got 40 wins on the season, 40-13 for Coach Rick Heller and his squad. Number two, it means they're playing on. They will play again tomorrow. Iowa will play again tomorrow. So you got pretty much a whole day off, 24 hours off. 2 o'clock tomorrow, 2 o'clock Central Time, against either Indiana, the 2 seed, or the 7 seed Illinois, who that game is slated to start here in about another 8 minutes or so from what I saw on BTN a few moments ago. So a big win. You know, like I said yesterday, in my humble opinion, I have no affiliation with the selection committee, obviously. We don't know sometimes what they're thinking, but I thought Iowa was in pretty good shape when we talked about it yesterday. Considering they've got to 40 wins, they won a game in the Big Ten tournament, potential to win at least a couple more here, still potential to win the whole thing. I think Iowa's looking pretty good here, considering the fact that they were able to score that big inning in the fifth against Michigan and advance. So we'll see who the opponent is. If you want to check out the game while you're listening to us, of course, you can tune on BTN for the rest of the tournament. Indiana and Illinois, 2 o'clock or so. Scheduled to be 2 o'clock. Obviously, it's 2:13 now, and that game was slated to begin about 2:20 over in Omaha. One other game tonight in the first round, it is Maryland and Michigan State, the top-seeded Terps and the 8th-seeded Spartans. That's a 6 o'clock start. Over in Omaha, the final game of the first round is set for tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Nebraska and Rutgers. I believe I said 24 hours off for Iowa. I was very incorrect. You're off until Thursday at 2 o'clock. That's my mistake. I misread what was right in front of me. That happens quite a bit here on the show. But Iowa off until Thursday at 2 o'clock when they will play the Indiana-Illinois victor. In the, second round, if you want to call it that, for the Big Ten tournament. Nebraska and Rutgers kicks things off tomorrow at 2, and then only one other game tomorrow. That is the loser of Game 1, so Michigan playing the loser of the Illinois-Indiana contest. Again, it is a double elimination baseball tournament over in Omaha, but Iowa avoiding their first loss today with that 13-3 victory over the Michigan Wolverines. 319-366-1600, rolling along with you here at Spencer on Sports for this Tuesday. Transitioning into Major League Baseball, full slate of games for tonight. We'll run through, pardon me, the schedule here in just a little bit, but looking at the regional games for last night, the White Sox falling to Cleveland 3-0 last night. Cardinals lose in extras to the Cincinnati Reds 6-5 in 10 innings. Nick Senzel with the walk-off sack fly in the 10th inning. Paul DeJong on a kind of a hot streak here along with the Cardinals, who've been playing some improved baseball. DeJong 2-for-5 with a double, a home run, and drove in 4. Twins losing to the Giants last night 4-1. All 4 runs coming in the first for the San Francisco Giants, including a 3-run homer from Michael Conforto in that first inning. I guess this was the weekly 10-run loss for the Brewers. They lose to Houston. Not a good night in Milwaukee last night. One of those nights where, as a Brewer fan, I was glad to be blacked out of watching that game. Losing to the Astros 12-2. Yordan Alvarez, solo home run, a grand slam as well, part of 5 home runs on the night for Houston off of Corbin Burns and a handful of Brewers relievers. Houston winning 12-2 there, and Detroit getting a win in 10 innings over Kansas City by a score of 8-5 last night. On the schedule for tonight, the White Sox in Cleveland, 5:10 start time there. Cardinals over in Cincinnati, a 5:40 start. Detroit is at Kansas City. Houston is at Milwaukee again tonight. Also got the Cubs opening up a series against the New York Mets at 6:40 from Wrigley Field. And you've got the Twins hosting the San Francisco Giants tonight as well. That's a look at your Major League Baseball scores and schedule for tonight. We'll follow some more of those scores and latest news from MLB throughout the rest of the week here on the program. We will take a quick timeout up now. On the other side, talk some NBA. Big game last night. Nikola Jokic, game-winning basket in that one. LeBron making some comments that made it seem like he was at least considering retirement. Is he really going to retire? Do we believe him? We'll talk about that coming up in a couple minutes. It's Spencer on Sports with you on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today, a little hazy at times, but nice and comfortable and warm. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 80s. Tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down into the mid-50s. Then, as we head into tomorrow, we'll climb up into the 80s, but winds will pick up out of the east as a cold front moves through. That will lead to cooler air in place for the end of the week. Temperatures will be in the 70s on Thursday and Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. No dig, multi-purpose fence panels are easy to install. Just lay out your panels and hammer the posts directly into the ground, and your fence is complete. Right now, 31 by 36 no dig, multi-purpose fence panels are just $10.99 each after 11% off at Menards. Good through May 29th, savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Take your favorite sports talk programming with you anywhere on the go with a free KGYM Sports Radio app. Local sports talk in the afternoon and ESPN all day, right in your pocket. Hang out with your friends from the Gym by searching KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store today.
219, moments away from 220. It's Spencer on Sports for a Tuesday. 319-366-1600. Talker text line wide open for you here today. Gym class on the way at 3 o'clock. Todd Brommelkamp show in between 4 and 6 this afternoon. Illinois-Indiana baseball just about to start on BTN. Like we talked about in the opening segment, Iowa getting a 13-3 run rule victory over Michigan to start up things in Omaha today. City following the Big Ten tournament the rest of the week here on the program. One other major league notes. I don't want to always make this about my favorite teams, the teams I follow. They just seem to be in the news quite a bit. Green Bay, Milwaukee. Of course, my Brewers talk is largely confined to Spencer complains about the Brewers if you are a regular listener to the show. But some news. Milwaukee's pitching staff has not been healthy. Brandon Woodruff out for an extended period of time. Now Eric Lauer on the DL. Dealing with some injuries for Milwaukee, especially in the pitching rotation. Brewers announcing today they have signed Julio Teheran to a major league contract. Brewers dealing with injuries to Eric Lauer, Brandon Woodruff, Wade Miley as well, who's had a nice start to the year. Aaron Ashby out for a good chunk of the season. Julio Teheran, a free agent signing, of course, was a pretty solid pitcher in his first part of his career with the Atlanta Braves, but has struggled in recent years pitching for the Angels and the Tigers. Spent at least the early part of this year with San Diego and their AAA affiliate, 5.63 ERA with AAA El Paso. He opted out of his deal on Monday. And now he is a member, at least for the time being, while the rest of the pitching staff gets healthy, of the Milwaukee Brewers. Julio Teheran signed today as a free agent for Milwaukee. 319-366-1600. Other thing you're seeing today on social media, and we'll get into this in our NFL segment coming up in just a bit. Anyone out there overreacting to OTA videos? I guess the Aaron Rodgers news was part of the overreaction to it. But as I tweeted earlier, Matt Schneidman, who covers Green Bay for The Athletic, posting a video of Jordan Love throwing a pass to Christian Watson for a touchdown. And I said, Alexa, where can I buy those Super Bowl tickets? Of course, I will not be buying Super Bowl tickets, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Onward to the NBA, and the Denver Nuggets are moving on.
Inbound to Jokic, 5 to shoot. Jokic in the corner, Jokic on the drive. Got deep and scored for the lead with 51.7 to go.
How about the big guy puts it on the floor from the left hash mark? Gets all the way to the rim.
Another 30-point triple-double for Nikola Jokic.
Mark Kestisher and PJ Carlissimo there, as you heard right here on KGYM from ESPN Radio. That basket from the Joker, Nikola Jokic, ended up being the game-deciding basket under a minute to play in the fourth quarter as the Nuggets held off the Lakers. Mounted a huge comeback in that one. 113-111, Denver gets the win, and they complete the sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers. Jokic finishing with 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 13 assists, his 8th triple-double of the postseason, his 5th career triple-double in a series-clinching win. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone was asked, and this is a really good quote from their head coach, what has Nikola Jokic proved during this playoff run?
He hasn't proven anything. And why do I say that? Because I already know he's a great player. You know, I mean, like when you're with a guy for 8 years, and, you know, I think people have short-term memory. You know, he wasn't this player his first year, his second year. You know, I mean, that third year we lose to Minnesota in game 82. And he and Jamal both had great games, and we lost in overtime. But I think he's shown other people nationally that he's real. Like, what he's doing is real. The MVPs are real. The triple-doubles are real. All the narratives, the silly narratives this year, are just that, silly and somewhat ignorant. And I think Nikola has gone through 3 rounds now where he's averaging a triple-double in the playoffs. Have you seen any stat padding out there? I'm serious. Like, enough of the silliness. Like, the guy is a great player. Give him his damn respect. Stop chopping him down at the knees, man. He's a great player, and give him the respect he deserves.
Two things I've learned, and Isaac, I don't know about you, but two things I've determined during this playoff run, especially the series against the Lakers. Number one, Michael Malone might be my new favorite coach.
Oh, he's awesome.
In the NBA.
Yeah, he's great.
I read somewhere that the Kings moved on from him. They like fired him early on into a season. Forgive me for being somewhat ignorant on it. But I know the Kings moved on from him. And the Kings did pretty well with Mike Brown as their head coach this year. And, of course, Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk and those guys. But, I mean, if he was available, I want the Bucks to snap this guy up right away. And he's not going to be available because he's leading the Nuggets to the NBA Finals, number one. Number two, you know, I respect Nikola Jokic. I absolutely think he's worthy of those two MVPs that he's won, but he's quietly becoming one of my personal favorite guys to watch on the court. He's just been incredible. And I know there's people who watch the NBA a lot more. They'll be like, well, what are you talking about? You've never seen him play. I don't watch a ton of Nuggets games, to be quite honest with
you.
They
unfortunately don't get televised that often either.
Yeah.
And yeah, his play style, it's so great to see real team ball. And a lot of the Europeans play that sort of style where you have these bigs that are excellent passers, and it's always been like that. But yeah, he has a very fun play style offensively. Defensively, obviously, that's a whole other issue,
right?
But on offense, the way he'll just drive and then get his head up and just look all over the court to see if anyone at the three-point line is open so he can swing it to him, or just does a little hook over whoever's in front of him. Yeah, he's awesome.
The big three, the 25-foot three he made with the shot clock expiring last night. It was Rob Perez. There's a writer on Twitter who tweeted something in 2020 about Jokic just like drawing something up in the sink, kind of like schoolyard basketball, basically.
Yeah.
And just throwing up a prayer and it going in, and it actually came to fruition, and he retweeted that tweet.
I think he described his play style as like a walrus on land, is what he's like. He plays like a walrus on land, and then he launches a shot, and it's the wettest shot you've ever seen in your life, or like it just swishes everything, doesn't touch anything but net.
This is the tweet. This is Rob Perez, who is a basketball writer, whatever. This is from September 5th of 2020. Jokic will dribble around looking like a panicked walrus on sand before tomahawking some blank over his head, which ends up being wetter than water. It's truly majestic. And then Perez tweeted it, retweeted that same tweet last night, said, never thought I'd see the day this facetious tweet would actually become literal. And it did. And that was really one of the key points in that game. And the Lakers, of course, had a big lead last night, 15-point lead at halftime, that huge three by Jokic really helped them. I mean, they still needed his basket that we heard the highlight from a few moments ago to win that game, but it helped them stay in front and keep them in a good position to win.
Yeah, you know what it reminded me of? That three that LSU hit against Iowa women's basketball team in the final at the end of the half, where it was kind of like a bank shot right at the final buzzer, and you just kind of put your hands up. It's like, it's their night.
Right.
And so when he made that, you're just like, I guess maybe it's the Nuggets night where just things seem to just be going in for him. If that goes in, then everything could go in for them.
Right. Absolutely. That three came with about 2:50 left, put Denver up 110-104. Anthony Davis, backtracking a little bit, there were fouls called in back-to-back possessions last night by Denver, one from Jamal Murray, one from Aaron Gordon. Anthony Davis able to make four free throws to tie the game at 111 with 113 to play. And the highlight we played from Kestisher and PJ Carlissimo with 51 seconds left ended up being the game winner. Last night for Denver, Jamal Murray with 25 points, Aaron Gordon with 22, Michael Porter Jr. had 15 and 10, while Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I abbreviate it KCP on my show notes, and I'm glad I remember what that is, because I think anybody else who's like, KCP, what is that? What are you talking about? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope finishing with 13. But in the end, not only do the Nuggets advance to the NBA Finals, first time in franchise history, they do it by sweeping the Lakers. There was a video that somebody shared on Twitter last night of, I don't know if it was at ESPN or something, question asked of the studio host, how many of you think the Lakers are going to sweep the Nuggets, or something along those lines? And as you can imagine, freezing cold takes got a hold of it. But Michael Malone, here he is again. He has some thoughts about the sweep, being able to do this, win not only two games at home, which, you know, you've been very good at home this postseason, but also go into L.A., go up against LeBron and Anthony Davis, and knock them out of the playoffs.
Well, I think it starts with a belief, you know, in themselves, but probably more importantly in the collective, you know, the man next to them. I've seen that belief all year long, Katie, you know, and we know that middle of December, we ascended to first place in the Western Conference, and through the ups and downs, we never lost first place in the Western Conference. And to beat this team in the Western Conference Finals and to get the first sweep in franchise history, to get the first Western Conference Championship in franchise history, it means a lot. But I speak for 17 players in that locker room and the entire organization. We are not satisfied. We're going to enjoy it for a moment. I think it's going to be a hell of a plane ride home. But we have a lot of work to do.
Nuggets head coach Michael Malone speaking there after the 113-111 win over the Lakers. 319-366-1600. Ken on the text line pointing out the first half three by Jokic. Very similar to the one Isaac and I were talking about. Ken saying, well, not as dramatic. I think it was important. You're absolutely right. It keeps Denver in the game because it felt like, you know, okay, Lakers are going to run away with this one. Maybe it was, you know, for those of you that believe the NBA scripted, oh, the NBA, oh, they want to make sure the Lakers get a game, force a game five, and then the Nuggets did what they've done in this series, I guess is the word I'm looking for. They came back. They dominated that second half, especially that third quarter. 36-16 in the third quarter, taking that 94-89 lead into the fourth. Still needed that late heroics from Jokic, the late basket to win, but they got it done. On the flip side, LeBron James leading the Lakers last night, 40 points, 10 rebounds. He played all but 4 seconds of the game. All but 4 seconds. Not 4 minutes, 4 seconds of the game. Really almost willing his team to victory, but in the end couldn't get it done. I wrote down some key moments from the game watching it last night, and really at the end, the lasting, I guess, image of this game and how it ended, it's going to be LeBron with two chances to tie the game late in the final seconds. Neither one able to even draw a rim. Missed a jumper with 26 seconds left. Officially, the last play was credited as a block to Aaron Gordon with 1 second left. Both shots would have either tied the game. You never know if what happens. Maybe kicks out, you get a three-pointer, go ahead, who knows. But in the end, LeBron, heroic performance, 40 points, 10 rebounds. Aside from him, not much else doing for the Los Angeles Lakers last night. And here's their head coach, Darvin Ham, talking about his 40-point performance, LeBron's 40-point performance, not Darvin's, in the game four loss.
I just thought he came out with a mindset to keep this thing going. He came in the building, as he's been all year, all throughout the playoffs, with a focus, a determination to get it done by any means necessary. You know, with the end of the quarter stuff, the end of the last, well, I should say end of the game, you know, I just thought he was trying to get downhill, man, and again, I mean, not to use any excuses or make any excuses, but there's contact on just about every play in the NBA. Now, when you drive the ball and what's considered a violation and what's not, what's called and what's not, it's like I'm oblivious. Like, I don't know. And so all you want is fairness and consistency. It's something I've always said. So just trying to get the ball in the hands of our best player and allow him to go make a play. In an area on the floor where he's comfortable.
They did have the ball, like I said, in the hands of their best player, but yeah, both shots coming up short for the LeBron James last night in the loss for L.A. Supporting cast, aside from Anthony Davis, not much in terms of scoring. Davis had 21 points and 14 rebounds. Austin Reeves with 17. Dennis Schroeder only with 13. Rui Hachimura inserted into the starting lineup. He finished with 10. So the Lakers knocked out of the postseason by the Denver Nuggets. We'll get into a little bit more of the history and look at tonight's game in just a little bit. But the other talking point, I'm sure you've heard ESPN Radio and the national folks talk about this today, LeBron James making these comments after the game.
We'll see what happens going forward. But I don't know. I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. And
just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, got a lot to think about.
Very cryptic from LeBron James. Kind of sounding like maybe he's at least thinking about retirement? What? LeBron, retire? It's been the conversation on the national side of things here today. And look, and we'll hear from Tim Legler here in just a moment from ESPN, his thoughts on those kind of cryptic comments from LeBron. It's really kind of, I understand the question being asked in that moment, but you look at the frustration of losing, not only losing the game, losing the series, not winning a single game. So many things going through your mind in that moment, very emotional time, especially if you're on the losing end. Maybe you're not really thinking about what's next. I don't hate the question, but is it a fair time to ask that question about future, about your future as a basketball player? After having just lost, getting swept in a playoff series, I guess that's up for debate. 319-366-1600. Here is Tim Legler from ESPN, his thoughts on the cryptic message on his future from LeBron.
Worst time for any athlete to be asked a question like that, right? The frustration of losing. This is a guy that only lives to play on the biggest stage and to have a chance to compete for championships. That's all that matters to LeBron James. So in the moment, he's frustrated. He's disappointed. He's going to be watching at home like a lot of people. He's going to have to watch the finals. He's going to have to watch his peers move on and have another star player compete for a championship. There's no question in my mind LeBron James is coming back, and I don't think he's going to play another game. In my opinion, anywhere else but a Lakers uniform the rest of the way. But right now, in the moment, he's deflated, he's defeated, he's tired. Let him get to the offseason a few weeks removed from the finals, and you'll see a different tone, I think, out of LeBron.
ESPN's Tim Legler weighing in on the answer LeBron James gave last night after the game. Do you believe in the slightest that LeBron is actually considering retirement? 319-366-1600. I don't think so. I think two things, and Isaac and I were talking about this before the show today. Number one, he wants to play with his son. Bronny, who just committed to USC, maybe Bronny's going to be, what, one and done maybe, even if he stays for a couple years with USC. I think LeBron still wants to maybe have that opportunity to play with his son wherever he ends up in the NBA. Number two, doesn't seem like LeBron to go out on a sweep, right? It doesn't seem like that would be the way LeBron's time as an NBA player ends. I feel like LeBron would also want some sort of farewell tour. See me one last time in Milwaukee, San Antonio, Charlotte, and so on and so forth. I don't buy the fact that LeBron is seriously considering calling it quits. What say you, Isaac? Do you believe he's seriously considering retirement?
No, he's been far too clear that he wants to play with Bronny or at the same time as Bronny, whether that's right with him on the same team or against him. He's been far too clear, pushing that for years, that he wants to do that. I can't see him retiring, especially when he's so close. I mean, Bronny could come out in 2 years, and it's very clear LeBron can play for two more years, in my opinion.
Right. So. And Bronny being in at USC, same place as LA with the Lakers, and so on and so forth. I don't see it.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. Again, he's been so clear that he wants to play with Bronny at the same time. I can't imagine that a loss to the Denver Nuggets, who are maybe the best team in the league, I guess we'll see.
Right.
Is gonna completely just change his mind after that.
7193, an interesting point on the text line, and I'll ask you, Isaac, your thoughts on this. 7193 says, he's going to retire for a year. Bronny will be one and done, and then Bronny will be a number one draft pick, knowing that LeBron will follow wherever he goes. So is it now a tank for LeBron and Bronny, or Bronny and LeBron? Subscribe to that?
I could see him maybe taking a year off, because I think he does have an injury. A foot injury, I believe, is what a lot of people are saying, or an ankle injury that might require surgery. And also, he's played 4 extra seasons in playoff games alone. So he's played essentially what would be 24 seasons in his career. I would imagine at some point you do have a level of burnout when you've been at a crazy level since you first entered the league. I could see him maybe taking a year off, but I don't know if teams would really tank for him. I mean,
tank for the package deal. Could you imagine, like, not to pick on the Charlotte Hornets? I picked them to win the lottery and they didn't, so I'm going to pick on them. Could you imagine the Charlotte Hornets tanking for
With Michael Jordan as the owner?
Bronny and LeBron. And LaMelo Ball. Remember LeVar Ball had that whole thing? Oh, boy. That's going to be a whole new level of tanking if it does happen. It's an interesting concept. Stranger things have happened in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, but I could see a year off, but I think more than likely he just needs a minute to recollect his thoughts. I think I'm almost 100% positive that he's going to be back playing for the Lakers next season.
If the Lakers do exit interviews with the media, I'm interested to see what LeBron's tone is then.
Yeah, I mean, not to bag on LeBron, he likes attention. So I think maybe part of it might have been, don't focus on the fact that we just got swept in the conference finals. Maybe focus more on this, maybe LeBron is done sort of thing. I just don't see it. I think he loves basketball too much. I think he loves to play still, and he still can play at an all NBA level, literally. Right. I mean, he was on an all NBA team, so I just don't see it.
What do you think happens tonight? Heat sweep? Celtics get one finally, force a game five? How do you see it playing out?
Gosh, I mean, the Celtics just seem so demoralized as a team.
They checked out.
Yeah, they just don't seem behind that coach. I'll say Heat. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league for a reason. I think he will take advantage of the Celtics' current weak mindset.
I picked the Heat. I think the Heat are going to sweep. The Celtics seem like that third quarter the other night.
They gave up. I don't know how else to describe it. They just gave up.
And Mazzulla saying that he lost the locker room and that he needs to have his guys better prepared. It just does not bode well going into game four on your opponent's floor. They're up 3-0 on you. It's just a storm of not good things.
Everything that could go wrong for the Celtics seems to have just gone wrong.
And absolutely.
I don't know how you even fix it. I mean, the only way you could fix it is if you brought Ime back, because it seemed like all the players loved Ime, and obviously you can't do that anymore. He's on the Rockets.
Right.
So I don't know how you go forward from here, even if you fire Joe Mazzulla at the end of the day today, I guess.
Yeah, if they lose the game tonight, I was reading this on Hoops Rumors earlier today. There is, I don't know, still some thought that it could happen, Joe Mazzulla getting fired in Boston. This is from Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. Celtics staffers, including Brad Stevens, their president of basketball operations, have shown, quote, unwavering support this season for head coach Joe Mazzulla. But there is still a possibility, according to Fisher, there could be a change of heart to make a coaching change if the Celtics do indeed get eliminated tonight. We'll see if they do get eliminated tonight. We will have game four of that series for you tonight here on KGYM. 7 o'clock is the pregame time, 7:30, the tip-off from ESPN Radio. A little bit of a historical note with this one, with the loss last night for the Lakers. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Teams now 0 for 150 when trailing a series 3-0. We've talked about this now. 92 teams, including the Lakers last night, have lost in 4. 44 have lost in 5 games when trailing 3-0. There have never been sweeps in both the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals. And if it happens, both teams are going to have an unprecedented amount of days of rest going into the finals. Finals don't start till June 1st. They're not moving it up. So the Nuggets are off until June 1st. Miami wins tonight. They will join them as well. And the Heat looking to close that out tonight against 7:30. The start time, it will be on TNT for the TV coverage, radio coverage, of course, on ESPN Radio. 2:44, we're overdue for a timeout, so let's take one. We'll come back and talk a little NFL. NFL draft being awarded to Green Bay. It's funny, and I'll talk about this after the break, how some of the media members, especially in the national side of things, are big mad about Green Bay getting the NFL draft. Talk about that and get your thoughts on Thursday flex scheduling. Some interesting restrictions were placed on it when it passed at the owners' meeting yesterday. We'll talk about that in just 1 minute. It's Spencer at Sports with you on the Gym.
Finally, baseball is back. Swing into the season with tickets to the action. Plus, with basketball and hockey heating up, now is a great time to experience a game. Vivid Seats is proud to be the official ticketing partner of ESPN. From on the glass to in the stands, Vivid Seats has great ticket prices to all the games. Every crack of the bat, every dribble down the court. Catch it all with Vivid Seats. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The Dell Technologies Summer Sale event is on with limited quantity deals on top tech. Save on select PCs powered with the latest Intel Core processors like thin and light XPS 13 laptops, Inspiron laptops, and 2-in-1s. Plus, get savings on select accessories, free shipping, and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. It's the perfect season to power your passions during Dell's Summer Sale event. Save today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to U.S. residents by WebBank, who determines qualifications for it and terms of credit.
Just like that, we're back at 2:45 with Spencer at Sports for a Tuesday afternoon, May 23rd of 2023. 319-366-1600. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Mentioned it earlier, but I'll tell you about it one more time. Will the Celtics win tonight? Yes or no? Simple as that. We're asking you, does Boston finally win a game? Down 3-0. Do they force that game 5, or are the Heat getting those brooms out, advancing to the NBA Finals to take on Denver? Find out tonight. You can vote. Let us know your thoughts at KGYMRadio.com. Currently split 50-50, right down the middle. You could be the tie-breaking vote if you vote right now at KGYMRadio.com. 319-366-1600. Talk a little basketball. Talk a little baseball with you as well. Iowa baseball, in case you missed it, moving on to the second round of the Big Ten baseball tournament. 13-3 win over Michigan in 8 innings to open up the day in Omaha. More on that coming up and the rest of our local programming today. Gym class on the way, about 15 minutes away. Todd Brommelkamp show from 4 until 6. NFL news. This was big news yesterday. A lot of excitement up towards Green Bay and across Packer Nation, of course. The NFL draft for 2025 will be held in Titletown. As the NFL draft, of course, is moving around across the country. It was held in New York City basically forever, from 1965 to 2014. Then the league decided, hey, let's move it around the country, make it kind of like a destination kind of thing. Bring it to your city. We saw that with Kansas City with this year's draft. Really cool scene there. Lots of folks there. More than 300,000 people were estimated to have attended the draft in Kansas City last month. It looked like an awesome atmosphere there. Of course, you got the defending Super Bowl champs touting their, you know, Super Bowl rings and their trophy and stuff like that. You got the draft going on, all the different prospects that are there. It was certainly fun to watch. But now Green Bay is in the mix. It's going to go to Detroit in 2024. That's where the NFL draft next year is going to be. But in 2 years, it's headed to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And what's interesting about this, and this is kind of where, as a Wisconsin native, I'm kind of like, I'm not offended by it. Like, people say stupid stuff, myself included, online all the time. But the number of people that were getting, like, big mad about the draft being given to Green Bay yesterday, some of the national folks, was just silly. Like, I don't know. They made it seem like Green Bay, like, doesn't have, like, running water or electricity or stuff like that. Do they even have cars up there in Green Bay? Like, what's going on up there? Like, it's a small city, yes. When Green Bay hosts it, it's going to be the smallest city to ever host the event. Just more than about 106,000, 107,000 people. I read something last night, I believe it was in the Green Bay newspaper, the Press Gazette, that there are expecting about 240,000 people to attend the draft, which, I mean, you know, not as big as Kansas City, obviously, with the estimated 300,000, but still, total population of the city itself is 106,000. 240,000 are expected to attend the draft. It's going to cause some headaches, right? But I think the thing that people are missing the most is the NFL would not award the draft to a city if they didn't believe the city could handle it. And if you follow the Packers, even if you don't, you follow, you know, just kind of developments around the league, you know, Green Bay has built up the area around Lambeau with all these different amenities like restaurants and hotels and kind of fun things to visit. There are plans in place, right? And I'm not trying to carry water for the city of Green Bay, but I kind of am at the same time, because it's not worth the hate that it's getting from some of the national folks that it be awarded the NFL draft in 2025. And the good news is, right, like, that's 2 years away. They've got 2 years to figure out the deficiencies, plan for them, address them, and then they could show off Titletown to the world. But certainly going to be fun for Green Bay. I said on Twitter yesterday, they should just hand out brats and beer and cheese curds to everybody. Imagine the draft prospect, whoever the 2025 number one pick is, walking out on stage at the Lambeau Field atrium or wherever they may be. And instead of, I mean, they get the jersey, but they also get like a complimentary bratwurst or a beer or something. Wouldn't that be good?
Say something from Culver's or something like that.
just get them some frozen custard, some cheese curds, maybe a nice fish fry. Who knows? Here you go. I can't even think. 2025. I knew you're a draft.
I was gonna say
draft geek. Who's the 2025 number one prospect?
Gosh, I don't know. Probably some quarterback that I haven't even
some guy
at
from
yet.
LSU or somebody.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't even started looking at
who's the third string quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah, honestly,
get him out there.
I haven't even started looking yet. I was gonna ask you, do you want to go on a little road trip in a couple years and we can go to? I've never been to Green Bay, so
you've never been to Green Bay?
Never. No. Nope.
Come on, man. It's a fun place to be.
Yeah, I mean, and the draft would be right up my alley, obviously.
Yeah,
so
there you go. There you go. Yeah,
I'll put it in the schedule, and right. I'll be sure to coordinate with you in a couple years.
You, me, and Todd, we're the Packer crew here, so we'll just take our shows up there. Scott and Mark, they can run the show. Chiefs and Bears have had their fun.
Yeah, that's right. Packers. You should have gone when you had the chance.
Yeah. We'll see what happens in 2025. But NFL draft headed to Green Bay. That was announced earlier this week, which was yesterday, the only day we've had this week so far. The other big news of the NFL from yesterday, the NFL owners approving modified proposal, that Thursday night flex schedule thing we talked about late last week. It's going to happen. You could flex Thursday night games, but there are some interesting restrictions as to what games can be flexed and the time you have to notify teams that the game is being flexed. And I think it might lead to this not really even being a thing. You look at it, the proposal, this modified proposal, allows Thursday night games only between weeks 13 to 17 to be flexed. Only two flexes are allowed all season, and 28 days notice is required. So you're going to limit it to weeks 13 to 17, but somehow require 28 days notice to make this happen. I don't understand how that is even somewhat feasible, but that is what the owners voted on yesterday and approved. It passed 24-8, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The resolution would be expanded teams could be required to switch Sunday afternoon regular season games in weeks 13 to 17 to the 7:15 Thursday and vice versa. So going back and forth upon at least 28 days notice from the league office. No team is going to be required to switch from Sunday to Thursday more than once or play more than two games on Thursday night in a season. These are the games that fall in that window, and there are some candidates for flexing, but it's way too early, obviously, at this point to determine what's going to be flexed and what's not going to be flexed. Week 13, Seattle at Dallas. Week 14, New England at Pittsburgh. Week 15, the Chargers at Las Vegas. Week 16, the Saints at the Rams. And week 17, the Jets at the Browns. I see two of those that might be worth flexing, Jets, Browns, maybe one of them. But you got Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. Maybe that's a storyline, especially if either team is possibly in playoff contention late in the season. Who knows? But those are the games that fall between week 13 to week 17, and we'll have to see if any of those do end up getting flexed. I can't imagine Dallas would get flexed because the national allure that the Cowboys have is pretty high, for sure. We see them in primetime quite a bit, but that is the new proposal, the approved proposal for flexing Thursday night games in the 2023 season. Got to take a quick 60-second timeout. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this.
Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Visit FanDuel.com/play.
21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RD in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit kesgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Back at 2:55, coming up at 2:56, Spencer at Sports winding down. I mentioned some news out of Jets OTAs, both Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard having to leave OTA practice at some point today. Both, according to ESPN's Diana Rossini, considered to be minor. Rodgers saying he tweaked his calf. Alan Lazard, not sure what happened with him per Rossini, but he was back on the field working in 7-on-7 drills. So Jets fans breathing a sigh of relief seeing the news come out about two of their key acquisitions this offseason, especially their franchise-altering quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. That'll be the show for today. Thanks for hanging out, as always. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2. Gym class is next. They've got Cal Eldred talking baseball just after 3:30. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. So don't forget, we have the NBA Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Boston and Miami. Game 4 coverage starts at 7. Have a great rest of the day.